Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. Tonight, I actually have a very special guest with me. I have Justin with me. He did the Nightmare on Elm Street review. Now he's back again to do Dexter Original Sin. This is going to be The Joy of Killing. And I just want to say this. This was probably one of my favorite episodes for Dexter Original Sin. But we're going to go on ahead. We're going to dive deep into this. So let's go on ahead. Let's get on with the show. And hey, Justin, how are you?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's good to have you back on here. I know what we did, the Nightmare on Elm Street one back, what, in October?
I think it was first week of November,
Yeah, the first week in November, my bad.
Yeah, because it was your last it was your last Halloween movie that you wanted to do, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's the last one I wanted to push out. Right. So now here we are doing Dexter Original Sin, The Joy of Killing, Episode 6. Coming out of the gate, I really love how it opens up where we actually have the police captain's son. He gets taken. And I didn't get this. I didn't talk about this, about the son and all that stuff in one of the episode reviews I did. And I just kind of bypassed it. I'm like, okay, it's just the son. It's the captain's son. It's like, you know, it's there, but is it necessary for it to be there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but now it's being woven into the main story. It seems like it's going to be one of the main plot points, it feels like.
Right. And that's what it seems like to me as well. So I definitely like the setup with Dexter when we first introduced the captain's son in like the previous episode. And I like how he goes, I can't play video games. I'm on the clock. I'm like, this is such a Michael C. Hall move.
Yes.
Mannerisms, everything about how he moves and everything and talks is fantastic when it comes down to that scene. But now we actually get to see the son being playing his game gear. He can't hear his mom getting whacked while he's going to be taken and everything. And I thought to myself, this is before AirPods was even invented. Those little shitty headphones, you would be able to hear shit.
Of course, because half of the size of the headphones was the actual earbuds that had the cotton that tore if you just took it off incorrectly. There is no way those headphones were even close to noise canceling.
No.
Let's be real.
He had that volume all the way up like we would do back in the 90s though.
All the way to 100, baby. All the way to 100.
Exactly. He was playing Sonic the Hedgehog and he just didn't want to let go.
Oh, 1,000%.
But, you know, I definitely like how it opens up to that. And then we get the other thing now where Deb is with Dex and she's telling him, hey, look, I want to do a double date with you, and Sophia. I think it would be a great thing to do. And I'm in a Dexter group as well. So everybody was complaining about this. I'm like, it makes perfect sense to me as to why she would do this. Number one, she doesn't have the approval of Harry.
Yep.
She's off doing her own thing. Every single time when her and Dex wants to hang out, even though he got high and stuff like that, he was able to hang out with her. But she always wants to be around Dexter and spend time with him, but he can't either. There's a dead body involved and he has to move away to do another crime scene, or it's him and Harry. So her putting him with the sister, with the friend actually makes sense, because even though they're double dating and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that she just wants to hang out with him.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
How many times in the actual original series did they go on a double date with whoever Dexter was seeing?
Right.
So it's a perfect tie in. So I don't really understand how people are getting upset about this when, if you watch the original series, they do it 2 or 3 times within, I think, a season.
Even in the first season, dude. Like whenever he meets up with his own brother, even though he doesn't know that's his brother.
Yeah, they go out of, I think, 2 or 3 dates that first season right off the bat. And then you have the second, third season with the undercover informant. And, Dexter goes out with, what's her name? I forget
Part of My Tits, that girl?
Yes.
Okay. That's the nickname I gave her, because I can never think of her name because she's that annoying. So I just call it Pardon My Tits.
Pardon My Tits. Yes. I forget what her actual real name is. And so we shouldn't get that trending. We will. I'm just saying. Pardon My Tits.
But yeah, it works with the narrative of the fact that, you know, she wants to spend time with Dexter, even if it means just going out on a double date. So at least she gets to spend time with her brother. So, and there's no crime scene or anything like that involved, and it's actually his night off. So it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So I don't know why this is a actual point to be spoken about, to be real with you.
Me either. But I loved it. I'd love to have that whole entire setup of, hey, look, Dex, I want you to meet my boyfriend. I want you and Sophia to be with me, and we can all hang together.
Yeah.
And I like how she's picking up his wardrobe and stuff like that too. She goes, here, wear this. And she's like, this is like the Donnie, you know what I'm talking about, like on the paper towels. She goes,
yep.
She's into the plaid thing. It'll make her wet.
I was like, that is the most Deb thing I've ever heard anybody say. Like especially her, just how she carries herself is so, like the casting in this show is so dead on, especially who plays Dexter, who plays Angel Batista, who plays Masuka. Just, I don't really have a lot of bad to say about this show so far.
Me either. At first, I was like, I'm not sure about Batista, but if you remember, I said, okay, now I'm sold on Batista.
Yeah, you had to give him a couple looks, but I think he works.
Yeah, he definitely does. And, you know, then after that, you actually have Dexter working the homicide case.
Yeah.
With this. And I love how he's working with the cops and stuff like that. And he's getting too involved, too into it, that he ignores what they're doing.
Yep.
And it's like show and tell for him because he loves doing this. And he's also giving himself away. But even Harry knows that he's giving himself away. He's like, Dex, you know, chill out a little bit, downplay it.
Pull it back a little bit, because that's when the whole flashback's happening and he's going through the whole entire crime scene in his head and whatnot.
Right.
And he's using his hands, doing what Dexter does.
Right. And I like how he says, no drugs on him, no track marks, no skin under the fingernails, self-inflicted marks on the arm. The killer wanted to savor the kill and look into the victim's eyes as he died. And he said possible a homicide. And LaGreta being LaGreta, yeah, Dex, cool story. That's not even it. I'm like, it's right there. Dexter's a serial killer, even though they don't know he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And he's telling her, look, he's saving the victim. He put 2 plastic bags over this person's head. One to put ear out of his, whenever the person's breathing. then they went on ahead and right.
So if I was in that situation, I'd be listening to everything he'd be telling me. But I still think that he's still being treated as the rookie, as the newbie.
Basically, so he's the water boy.
Basically, that's Bobby Boucher right there.
Right. But if you think about it, he's being treated like the water boy because this is basically freshman year of being a forensics on the forensics team. The only one that's not treating him like that is Masuka.
Yep.
Kind of, but because he said he was in his seat, but still.
You're in my seat.
Right. But I just love how he's way into it, and Harry's like, look, Dex, let the detectives do their work, and you just do what you normally do.
Yeah.
You know? So you have that going on, and you mentioned the flashback scene with Harry. I'll let you go ahead and talk about that. What did you think of them going into the flashbacks?
Just the way the flashbacks are done here, I think this is one of the high points of the episode, to where he's basically ironing out this entire crime scene, and then they're just flashing what happened as he's describing it, which I don't think they really hit on this in the original series a lot, no. But I think they really told the story here.
I think so too. I really do. And I love this color scheme of the flashbacks. It does pull you into that 1970s era.
Yeah. The flashing of the red too.
Yeah.
Is just on point. I think.
I think so too. And it also puts you in that 1970s era. And, you know, then you have, Harry's relationship with Dexter's mom. And he's like, look, I can't do this anymore. We have to stop. And yep. Then even whenever Harry goes, sees his wife who gave birth to Deb at that same time, like a couple of flashbacks later, she even says, look, you have to end it. I'm like, how the hell do you end it? That's your work. So,
but and I didn't like y'all try this an episode ago too?
Right. I tried. I just tried, but she just kept on coming back for more. So I just had to keep on doing it, baby.
You had your panel of doorknob.
Right. But, that's something that I have to say, though. I mean, you know, he's trying to end it, and he's like, okay, she's not as dumb as I think she is. She knows that I'm having an affair, so therefore I have to stop what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I like how he actually has that sense of like, okay, I gotta stop doing this. It's not good for me. It's not good for my marriage.
But.
But yeah. But it's also my work. But even Dexter's mom's also getting tired of everything too. She's like, oh, would you put your wife in this building? Would you do that? Yeah. Would you make her walk into this shipping container and watch somebody's, you know, finger get chopped off?
No. That's why it's you.
Right. Exactly. But I think now I'm going to go on a hunch here. And my wife brought this up to me before. Do you think that Deb's boyfriend could possibly be related to what's going on?
1,000%.
I'm thinking that he's part of the Colombian mafia, or whatever you want to call it.
I think he's the leader.
You think he's the leader? I don't know. I don't think he would be the leader type.
But here's the thing. Flashy car, a lot of money. We saw his work outlook basically. So he's gotta be doing something shady because he's too nice.
Well, also too, think of it like this. AJ Soprano even had money and stuff like that, and he was doing stupid shit. So I was thinking maybe it could be the mob boss's son.
That too. He's gotta be high ranking somewhere to have, for one, the car. He's acting too nice. He's acting too clean. He's taken up for Deb when they go out in the bar and the dude runs and hits the drink on her. There's just something with this guy that screams shady to me.
Right.
I don't know yet, but I can't wait to find out what it is so we can talk about it and be like, we told you so.
Right. But yeah, I'm thinking that he's actually the son of the cartel mob boss. That's what I'm going off of. And I think that's how that's linked. But also too, do you think maybe with Harry's flashback, even what if it's not just a flashback? What if it's actually the person who ended up murdering Dexter's mom?
That's, I'll just get ready to say, I really think that's who basically deletes her off the face of the earth in the storage container. So right. I think that scene is going to lead up to, I think, the end of the season is going to be when Dexter's mom gets it.
Right. But I'm also thinking, too, what if this the son, who happens to be the flashy type and all that stuff, what if he's the one that maybe the same person that killed Dexter's mom is the same person that's doing all this?
Well, that wouldn't shock me.
That's also another possibility. But, you know, and then you also have the whole entire deal where you have Dexter trying to follow Levi Reed. You also have, and I also like how he's actually trying to do a background check on him.
Yeah.
Too, like he normally does. The paper gets jammed up. I hated that paper even as a kid.
That is the worst printer. They made sure to show one of the two biggest things we had back in these times and why we hated it for us.
Exactly.
Headphones.
Because I hated that thing. I remember having like computer discovery as a kid in grade school and having that rolled up paper like that. And I hated that with a passion.
And the paper you had to roll out to and you had to pull the edges off without messing up your paper.
Right.
Oh my God. I hated those days.
Same. But then you have the other cop that just comes up to him and goes, "Hey, Dex." I'm like, "Oh shit. He's caught." But Dex plays it off really good. And just throws it away. Yep. But I like how, you know, the cop's like, is he up to something? What's going on? But then you find out that, you know, maybe he's picking up on the fact maybe Dex might be gay.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that feeling too, because he was awfully weird in that scene. So I think he kind of sniffed him out a little bit.
Right. I think he was thinking, well, maybe Dexter might be gay. Maybe that's why he's always awkward and stuff like that. And then when Dex just randomly just runs into him as he's following Levi Reed.
Hey, how's it going?
And Dexter doesn't pay any attention to what's around him. He goes, "Hey, how you doing, sirs? Good to see you. I gotta go."
He didn't even look where he was or where they were like just standing. They were just like, "All right, see you work tomorrow."
Right. No big deal.
Nope. He didn't care.
And knowing him, he's probably, that poor police officer's probably sweating his balls off in bed and having anxiety. And he's like, "Oh shit, they're gonna find out I'm gay in the police force. What am I gonna do?" He's gonna run and tell Harry because he's the son of the police force. What am I gonna do? And Dexter's not even thinking about him at all.
He didn't even pay that close attention.
No. But then you have, Dexter following him, like Levi Reed, he winds up seeing Levi on the date, throwing darts, and he's like, "Does that even work?" And I love how he also tries to do with his date as well, and it actually does work. It
does work. He's like, "If I did learn anything from him, wow."
Because dating is not so bad after all.
Just his dialogue just cracks me up.
Same. It's so Michael C. Hall. It's perfect.
It is.
And, you know, I like how they're introduced to the boyfriend. I also like how Harry's like, "Look, scoop this guy out. Try to see if there's like anything wrong with him." But Dexter's not even paying attention to him. He actually ordered one full course meal for him, appetizers for himself.
And then his date was like, "I don't like anything spicy." He goes, "This is for me."
Right. I don't know what you're having, but you know, I'm good right now.
He gave him the look of, "Have whatever you want, but this is mine."
Right. So, but at the same time though, I never order for any of my dates that I've been with. I always let the girl order for herself and then I just pay for it.
Yeah. I don't know what they were hinting there.
Me either. Like,
I've never seen that ever in my life. So that was kind of weird.
Yeah. But then I like how Deb is actually calling him out on it and goes, "Dex, Earth to Dex, what? Just, you're done eating now? You're done stuffing your face? Are you gonna, now it's come to the Q&A portion of the date."
I thought that was happening during dinner at most dates. Just saying.
Well, with Dex, though, I could see him being so awkward to the point where he doesn't know what to talk about. So therefore, he's just going to stop his face. Right. Because that's what I would do if I was awkwardly involved with someone that I hardly know. And I hardly know this person. And the only person in front of me that I do know is Deb.
Yeah.
So therefore, all I'm going to do is just stop my face the whole time.
And try to get out as quickly and possible.
Exactly.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Then... you know, he starts talking about the murder scene and stuff like that to him and goes, yeah. He goes, so how's my work been going, Dex? Oh, it was good. I went to a murder scene. Oh, good. Tell us. And then all of a sudden he goes, okay.
In the middle of dinner and compares it to Deborah's dress, which is, right. I'm like, dude, of all of, that is not a dinner topic.
No,
but
all you had to say was.
But it's still him.
Right. Exactly. All you had to say, dude, was, yeah, I went to a murder scene. Someone got murdered. We have maybe some ideas of what might happen, but we don't know for sure. They're still looking into it. Case, that's it.
Yeah.
It goes into specifics of the, how the person was murdered and how it, how the person's face blew up like a balloon and the blood splatter looked like Deb's shirt.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can really say about this. It is the most Dexter scene I've ever seen.
I love it. I love more of this. If they would actually give me more of Dexter dating and just, this would be a video tutorial of what not to do on a date.
Do's and don'ts provided by Dexter.
Do show someone how to play darts.
Don't talk about a crime scene and compare it to somebody's dress.
Exactly. But I do like how all of a sudden now she's wanting him because he showed her how to play darts. And then it goes in. He ended up revving up her engine twice in one night. Like, you got that dart scene. Yeah, remember he hotwired a car? And then that even wanted him even more.
Yeah. If only it was that easy in real life, man. Like, come on now.
Exactly. I don't think I remember ever a time in my life where I showed someone how to play darts and they oozed wanting somebody. Maybe pool might be like the closest thing I've seen in college days, but that's about it.
I don't even remember playing darts. So that's few and far between.
Right. But, you know, then you get into this other thing. My wife goes, this is such a CW moment where it's like, way to go, Dad. And she goes, this is such a teenage. And she goes, this is like CW. Dexter went CW. I'm like, it does in a sense, but don't forget, Deb and her friend are also high schoolers.
So the CW comparison makes sense because a lot of CW shows were pinpoint to high school students, so it kind of makes sense.
Right. But it also fits in with the narrative of the fact that these are high school girls acting as high school girls would. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I totally get it.
Yeah, it actually makes sense, and I haven't even heard that comparison, so that's good on her.
Right. She made me notice a couple of things the second watch, so I'm actually happy that I was able to incorporate that into my notes and stuff compared to before. You know? Then we have the other thing where now after the date and everything, he is starting to track Levi Reed again. And Levi is over there singing, thinking about you. And then he winds up giving him the shot. And then he winds up waking up on Dexter's table. But yep. What did you think of that?
That was great. He was singing the song, because I've been thinking about you too. Stab in the neck. I'm like, this is where it gets good. Cause the fact that he can just sneak up on somebody in an alleyway and not make a sound is incredible. Because knowing me or somebody else, they'd be kicking over bottles and making all kinds of noises trying to sneak up on somebody. So it actually makes, like, that scene was another standpoint of this entire episode where he could just come out of nowhere. Like somebody's closet in the original Dexter and everything that he goes and does.
Exactly. That's how I felt though too. Because it's like, you know, you're not expecting it just as Reed is not expecting it.
No.
And he's like, I'm thinking about you. And it's like, he's just like kind of stunned and then ends up whacking him.
Yep.
With the needle and then injecting him. But at the same time, I'm like, at first I was like, I thought maybe Lee might be gay because he went by a bar. I thought he went inside the gay bar at first at one time, but
I did too. But if you look at the actual scene, I don't think he does.
No, he doesn't, because I remember Dex, because that would have been the same moment that he runs into the other police officer that works with him
on the street. Yeah.
On the street. So yeah, he didn't go in there that time or anything. So he's straight. He just happened to hear a song that was stuck in his head after that, after hearing it outside. But I do like how he's on the table. And at first I'm like, did he do it? Did he do it? He's just a creep or what? And then you get the confession that he did kill those people.
Yep. And all Dexter fashion, he gets it out of him. And then he does what Dexter does.
Right? He goes, I'm not like you. I'm in control. Harry trained me to be like this.
Are you the cop's lapdog?
By the way, you'd be killed number 3 for me because I'm now a serial killer. So happy birthday to me.
Yes. That entire line was just incredible to me.
Yeah. Then after that happens, you know, we have him trying to take the body over to the swamp like he normally does with the alligators this go around.
Yep.
And, you know, now there's a police scene because the nurse's finger popped out of the arm popped out of the water.
Yep.
And there's a dead body in the back of his truck.
And they told him to stop, turn the car off. And it pans.
It's not over, a good sign.
Pans over to the arm that they found in the close up on the ring from the first kill of the season.
So, okay. So we've seen Dexter in hard spots like this before.
1,000%.
So how much you want to bet we either have Batista or Masuka working the scene?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, good. You're here.
Or, yep, and they're going to drag him right into it like nothing.
Like nothing even happened. Yeah, yep. This is our forensics person, Dexter Morgan. He's here to work the case. Even though he's not there to work the case, this is his night off. But
Have you noticed every time he shows up to a crime scene extra early, they don't question why he's there at all?
Right. What? Well, you can even go with the far excuse of, with this one, saying, hey, look, I heard it over my dad's radio. I thought maybe you might need some help.
Yeah, but every time that it's happened, though, nobody right. seems to question why he makes it at like 5 minutes after everybody else and it's not been radioed yet.
Right.
So I'll throw that out. I won't harp on that at all, but I just want to see how he gets out.
Me too. That's why I love this show so much, is wondering how he gets out of certain situations. But I promise you, either Batista, LaGreta, or someone's working that crime scene.
Oh, 1,000%.
But I don't think LaGreta would actually vouch for him that much, but I see Batista or I see, Masuka vouching for him.
Yeah, I see those two over her because remember, she's still as new as he is.
So. Right. And my speculation is this. I'm thinking that Harry's going to be even more pissed off at him now than before because now all the people that he's murdered is in this swamp. Two of the bodies is in the swamp.
Where at any time they could surface as well as anything else there.
Right.
So.
And now he's grounded again from his own job. Probably.
Pretty much. Did you happen to catch one of the moments in early of the episode when he's talking to the file person?
Yes. I wanted to talk about that.
And she talked about, well, if you ever need our boat, Just let me know. Is this how the boat comes into effect?
That's what I asked my wife. I said, how much do you want to bet? This is probably where Slice of Life came from. How much do you want to bet that the husband dies?
Yep.
She needs to get rid of the boat. So as a favor to Harry, she gives Dexter the boat. They don't even really have to pay for it.
And he'll just take it and use it as he pleases.
Right.
Which what we see what he uses for it. Wait, right. Wrong. So,
spelunking.
Can't forget about spelunking.
Right. But all in all, great episode. I still think that that's what's going to, how he gets the boat.
It has to be. Because in the old season, there's no talk of how he gets the boat. He just has the boat. So
right. Because when here's the thing, man. It's been a long time since I've actually watched the seasons of Dexter, but most of season one through three, it's still fresh in my head. So pretty much I remember how we get introduced to him. He's over there looking at everybody. He's talking about putting a mask on and stuff like that. In the first season, he's already on Slice of Life after he gets on whacking, killing somebody at the start of the season one.
And it's even better if you watch the first season simultaneously with this because it actually connects.
It connects.
Better for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing. So it... We're getting all the actual answers this time around, which I wanted from the first place. So I can't wait.
I can't either. I love this show. I think that this show is smart. I think they're realizing, okay, we screwed the pooch not once but twice with some fans. So we got to do this right.
Yeah. But the question is, how do you do this right the third time?
Right.
Without even angering more people than the first two times, because I remember watching those two live and all the petitions of them rebooting it and people just outraged about how they ended it. But the question that I have is, how do you safely end this show?
Right.
That's
either number one, Dexter gets killed. Number two, Dexter spends life in prison and gets also the death penalty.
Yeah. So there really is. There is no safe zone here. You're going to anger somebody. So I'm interested to see how this goes.
Me too. I'm interested in seeing how it goes. And I was like, how the hell do you do Dexter Resurrection if he's dead? Jeez. And then,
yeah.
And then I'm like, then I read the report. It's like, oh, they're going to use the fact that it was cold weather to tell us, oh, it's because of that. They're going to stop that's how the bleeding stops.
And then the back of a police car and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, there's only one thing I disagree with so far. And that's starting the season off with the spoiler of how he's still alive.
I think that.
I think they should have waited. I think they should have just kept the prequel aspect. And at the end of the season, that's when you show that. That's when you go to New Blood. And then that's when we go into
Resurrection. I like that too. I'll be real with you. I like that aspect of like, I have like a surprise ending of that and them shocking his heart back up. And all this time it was just flashbacks with everything. Yeah.
Like
Michael C. Hall, because it makes sense though, because Michael C. Hall is just basically, analyzing his life, in a sense, and giving us a peek in between in his life.
Yeah, that's why that was what, like my theory of just waiting, because you can use that as a stepping stone for the new show.
Right.
But that's
just now here's what I wanted though for like the main season: have Deb killing Dexter. Dexter's on his own table, and Deb is over there examining him. And that's how I thought it was going to end.
That's fire. I didn't think about that one. That is really good. I like that one better. And her taking over?
Because think of it like this. Every many times that we see him putting somebody else on the table.
And somebody do it to him.
Right. And it's his sister. And his sister knows every single sin he ever committed and everything. And she has leeway of actually putting it on the table.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that whatsoever.
That would have been perfect. But no, they had to kill her off in a stupid hurricane.
I think that was premature.
Yeah.
So the question I want answered is, in the new season, do we get dad and sister talking to Dexter?
I don't know. I think that'd be a little much.
To see them three interact, though, just give me an episode. It doesn't have to be a full season, but how great would the dialogue between Dexter, Deb, and the father would be?
That'd be cool.
But just an episode, though.
Just an episode. That's all we want.
That's all we want. What do we know, though? So we don't write TV shows or nothing.
Exactly. I just give ideas, and hopefully they'll go with it. But
hopefully. When you send a couple emails, and you hope they pick one out of the 52.
Right. By the way, my address, by the way, Showtime, is NBC in Lewis, Mississippi. I'm not going to give you the full address. You're just going to have to email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com to get the rest of it. So.
You might as well just hold up your driver's license and be like, bing.
Right. Yep. Right here. And blur it out and let them try to figure it out.
I think that's a two.
But there's one other thing I wanted to mention before we close out. So with the police captain's son and stuff like that, I know we mentioned it, but it was kind of like a side thing. We didn't really talk about that much.
Yeah.
But the confrontation with the ball bag new husband.
Yeah.
New boyfriend or whatever he is. And he goes, how did you not know that my son was taken? I'm like, dude, you, and I'm glad that he pointed it out. I'm glad the captain's like, you live in my house.
Yeah. I'm just like, don't you live here?
Right. No, he just visits on the weekends.
I'm just like, dude, do you reside here too? How would you, come on now.
Exactly.
Like that was just, that was.
But then you have that scene where the TV dinner again being dropped off to the kid. Then you also see, you also have another scene too with the police captain, the little montage that they have where he's pissed off.
Yeah.
And Batista's like, well, day one was this with the finger. Day 12, he goes, what? Would you just, don't sugarcoat it.
Just tell me.
Right.
I was just like, there was a couple parts of the episode that was just him just pissed off.
Right.
Just throwing things and throwing the board. I'm like, dude, like, come on now.
Well, I understand. It's his son that's missing and there's a lot of stuff, but do you feel like that was a little over the top?
Cause they kind of zoomed in when he was getting angry. Like I understand, but I don't think it should have been zoomed in as much as it was, because they, when he went against that, that whiteboard though, that was pretty intense.
Yeah.
But I get it though.
I do too. Well, that's about it for The Joy of Killing, episode 6, but I'll be doing these episodes and everything whenever we have some more Dexter. So let's see here. When's the next episode? I know that we're not getting
27th. I think 27th is the next.
The 24th, actually.
24th is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the 24th is a Friday. Yeah.
So it's next Friday. Yeah.
Yep.
Yay! So, new episode.
So do me a favor, guys. Smash that like button. Smash the subscribe button. Also, too, Justin, go on ahead and talk about your podcast and stuff like that you have, and what you guys have coming out.
Lights, Camera, Reels on Facebook and Instagram. Find us on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. We have 2 interviews dropping this week and more to come after my surgery.
Okay. I hope that you have a speedy recovery with your surgery, man. I know it's a rough thing that you're going to be going through, but yeah. I hope that you have a nice recovery with it.
I'll be back. I always be back.
Okay, Arnold. But...
You caught up on that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Because I know Terminator 2 Judgment Day is one of your favorite movies. Okay, so tomorrow night I actually have my review of Landman that I'm going to be doing.
Landman.
For season 1 for Billy Bob Thornton's movie. I mean, TV show. And Friday I'm just going to be doing a bunch of shorts, putting stuff together on YouTube and things like that. Rossi will try and be back next time that I do another Dexter review, but... We are planning something out for Monday, but stay tuned for more stuff. I'm excited to be able to do this for you guys. Reach out to me at movielovesnight@gmail.com. If you want to geek out with me about some Dexter or whatever, go over to Spotify. Well, I'll be glad to chat with you, about this show or anything else that we have over here at Movie Lovers Unite. Also too, go on ahead, comment after the show, rewatch this, wherever you guys get a chance to. But yeah, Justin, it's a pleasure as always, Moon. I'm happy that you wanted to come on here. I do appreciate it. Go over to Fanatics and get yourself a hoodie from them. We're sponsored by them. We're also sponsored by the WWE store and all that stuff over here at Movie Lovers Unite. So yeah, go on ahead, get yourself a hoodie, get yourself a shirt, get yourself some nice merch. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.